sports, politics, life. Advanced Medical Imaging presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at medimageks.com.
After a really nice two-week run and a nine-game winning streak at home, the Royals showed an awful lot of vulnerability on Saturday and Sunday as they are taken down by a very good Baltimore Orioles team. And the headline here is really bad starting pitching and an offensive lineup that did almost nothing. Royals fell behind 7-0 on Saturday night as Cole Reagans took the hill. Cole Reagans came out and struck. He only got five batters out in the game. He struck four of them out, but gave up seven runs in the second inning. The Royals would rally later and pull within one before losing by a couple, but it was way too little too late on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, the Royals were never really even competitive. Seth Lugo got the start, gave up a couple of home runs, four earned runs in five and a third innings. Not the best look as the Royals lose 5-0. They only sprinkle in five hits in the game and never score, getting shut out. And this is really, you know, it's not alarming. The Royals have played very good baseball. They're clearly better than we all thought. There's an awful lot to like here, but they're three games back at the Cleveland Guardians, who are off to a great start this year. And just watching the way it went down against a good team on Saturday and Sunday, it makes you wonder if the Royals are really anything more than an improved team, a team that could be a 500 team, hang around, be in the discussion, that sort of thing. They were playing like champions for a couple of weeks. I mean, they were going out and just pitching so well and getting leads and winning games. We know they've had, what, six games this year where they've scored 10 or more runs, or seven games with nine or more runs, because they did that again on Friday night against the Orioles. So they have moments where they look like a dominant team. But if this starting pitching, well, it has to come back to earth. There's just no way the starting pitching was going to stay as hot and as good as it was. You just don't have five guys sitting there with 1.5 earned run averages. It's not going to happen. So Cole Reagans got just bombed on Saturday night, which was very surprising. And then Lugo, you know, he managed to get into the sixth inning. I mean, he ate up his pitches and saved the bullpen a little bit. The Royals are playing 13 days in a row. So salvaging pitching is going to be very important over a 13-day stretch with no days off, assuming there's no rain out or anything like that. But they just didn't look competitive. We went to the game. We had a great time. We had a great time at the game on Sunday. Our lead story, the Royals, is brought to you by the Finch Knife Company, our welcoming sponsor today, as we say. Finch Knife Co. has a sale running through Sunday. 20% off everything at finchknifeco.com. It's their get-ready sale. They've got upcoming knife releases coming, seven different models coming out in the next few weeks. So in order to do that, they're clearing out the old. And that means 20% off right now at finchknifeco.com or Shields or a retailer near you. It lasts only 1 week. It starts on Monday, that's today, and runs through Sunday at finchknifeco.com, so jump on it. We went to the game at a great time, and the Royals have some great deals out there if you're looking, and the deal that we jumped in on, some friends said, hey, let's go do this. There's a four-pack on Sundays, and it sounds too good to be true. For $15 per person, $60 total, that's four of you. For $60, you get a parking pass, four tickets, four hot dogs, and four Diet Cokes or any sort of fountain beverage that you like. And we took them up on that. We got the worst seats in the upper deck and never went up there because you just don't have to go up there if you don't want. There's enough empty seats still around the ballpark that you can sit somewhere in the lower level or spend time in the outfield as we did, kind of walking around and milling around. And we had just a great day standing in the sun. It was a beautiful April afternoon and, to be honest, kind of a bad, boring baseball game. The Royals were lifeless on Sunday, but it didn't dampen our enthusiasm. We ran into our old friend Brian McCray, former Royal, former Cub. I said, the Blue Jays are coming to town on Monday. I said, you played for the Blue Jays, right? He goes, yeah, you want to talk about a cup of coffee? I said, how long are you there? 6 weeks. He said, not even. He didn't remember how many games he played with the Blue Jays, but it wasn't very many. He'd gotten traded and was only there briefly. But it was good to see Brian McCray. We were once business partners, and he's a really, really good guy, and he just loves baseball, loves it to death, and it was great. He was just so nice to our friends and the people that we knew around us at the ball game, and it was just a terrific day. I love going to baseball games. I just love going to ball games, and I haven't been going the last few years as much as I'd like to go because there just hasn't been a reason. But just the fact that the Royals are over 500 leads you to believe that if you're going to buy a ticket and go to a game, you're going to see a great product. Salvador Perez is a Hall of Fame player playing at a very high level. He's worth the price of admission alone. Bobby Witt's an up-and-coming star. They've had really good pitching. There's a lot of reasons to go to Kauffman Stadium and watch baseball, and we had a good time on Sunday, despite the fact it was probably the worst game of the year for the Royals. They were just kind of lifeless, and it was dull. And now the Blue Jays come to town for four as this seven-game homestand continues. Of course, you can get premium seating or sit anywhere you want or suite tickets at ticketsforless.com. They'd love to hook you up any way that you can if you're interested in going over the next four nights. Blue Jays are an interesting team. They can really pitch. And they've got a guy going on Monday night named Yusei Kikuchi. We wrote about this in the Patrons post on Saturday. Kikuchi is a Japanese pitcher, and he has started a tradition with the Blue Jays this year that his teammates, I'm sure, they just love. When Kikuchi pitches and wins, he cracks open a bottle of very expensive Japanese whiskey, a Spanish oak whiskey from Japan, which I guess everybody has whiskey, but you don't really, you know, you think of Japan, you think of sake, right? Which is made of rice. I think you don't think of whiskey, but Kikuchi, when he starts and they win, breaks out a $3,000 bottle of Japanese whiskey and shares it with his teammates. It's becoming a tradition for this team. We will hope they don't open the whiskey on Monday night at Kauffman Stadium against the Royals, but it's one of those unique things about baseball. We see really interesting things in baseball that we don't see in other sports. I think baseball players and managers for a long time have been really bad at giving nicknames. I mean, some of the greatest nicknames in all of sports have come from baseball, but because they give everyone a nickname, it gets really bad. Like, they just put E on the end of it. Like, I'd be Keatsy. That's not really a nickname. So sometimes it can be a little boring, and we see some strange things. We've seen the home run helmets and some of these mascots. The Orioles have this thing where they have a Gatorade cannon or something that it almost looks like they're doing beer bongs when they hit home runs. Funky things happen in baseball, but there's nothing more interesting than the Toronto Blue Jays and the pitcher they have going on Monday night. Kikuchi, if he wins, will be breaking out a $3,000 bottle of Japanese whiskey in the clubhouse at Kauffman Stadium for his teammates if they win tonight. We'll hope they don't. The Royals are 13-9, four games over, three games back of Cleveland after losing two out of three. And, you know, you can save the homestand here. The Royals have been really good at home. Go win three out of four, get the pitching back on track, and let's hope that the bats don't go silent. We had talked coming into this homestand that the Royals hit much better at home than they do on the road, but we've seen some pretty sad-looking offense over the weekend against Baltimore, falling behind 7-0. Look, they came back. Salvi had a big night on Saturday night. He had two giant hits in the game. He had a huge night and brought them back, but they weren't really competitive in that game and never had a lead. Then yesterday they just got shut out. So I'm hoping to see the team return to form against the Blue Jays. Nobody's going to win every series. Nobody said the Royals are going to win 100. A lot of folks in baseball think 85 wins could win the division. I'm not really one of them. I'm looking at Cleveland and they're 10 games over 500 already. Leads me to believe somebody's going to get to 90. I don't think the Royals are a 90-72 team. I don't. They played like it for 2 weeks, but I don't think they're that team. So I think what we're going to hope for here is, and it's not too early, there were some people around us last night that were scoreboard watching the Cleveland game. I'm like, okay, we're watching the scoreboard in April. Well, it looks like Cleveland. They're 10 games over. They're off to a great start, and the Royals are three games back of them. So I do think that's an important part of the equation. I don't know that the Royals will be a wild card team. I think you want to win the division. And I think we're going to need some Cleveland losses to make that happen. But the Blue Jays in town for four this week. And then the Chiefs will take over all the sports headlines in Kansas City as the NFL draft is this week. Stan Weber will be joining us on KKHI. We'll do a little pre-draft with Stan on what the Chiefs' needs are position-wise, how he thinks the roster is coming together. We will not spend a lot of time talking about individual players in the draft, but it was pretty interesting to see Brett Veach this week in his Zoom call or whatever you'd call it with the media. They asked him about the possibility of trading up, and his face lit up. He smiled with his eyes, and he sort of grinned with his chin, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm prepared to do that if the owner approves it. He says the owner has to be on board with it, and I started thinking, okay, what is it that the Chiefs would want to trade up for? It's a very deep wide receiver draft. The Chiefs know they have a really good player in Rashee Rice. They've got Hollywood Brown for a year, and that looks like a perfect fit, at least for this year. So the Chiefs could go a lot of different directions. I don't see them trading up for a wide receiver. I think if the Chiefs are going to trade up, it may be some scenario where the Georgia tight end Brock Bowers is available, and they say, here's Travis Kelce's replacement. I'm starting to think, and it's just me, I'm starting to think this is going to be Travis Kelce's last year. He has talked about the pain that he lives with, how difficult it's been. I think they all want to come back. The Chiefs will have them back for the three-peat to try to do something that's never been done. I could absolutely see this being Travis Kelce's last year. Now, I don't know the man that closely. Maybe he's got some Tom Brady in him, and he wants to squeeze every ounce out he can, and he'd stick around for a couple more years and just be an okay tight end, but he's got so much stuff going on. He's hosting a game show on Amazon. He's got a podcast they say could be worth $100 million. As they're signing a deal, he's got Taylor Swift and traveling the world and all this stuff going on in his life. It does not appear that football is to Travis Kelce what it once was. Now, you cannot dispute how great he was on the field when it mattered most last year. He was just fantastic in all the games that mattered. I am not disparaging him in any way as a tight end or as an athlete. And I think once the season comes around, he'll be very, very serious about it. He'll be productive, and he'll be a great player for the Chiefs. It just looks really easy for him to get away from football and say, that's not defining me. I've got so much more to do. I think he wants to be The Rock. I think he wants to be an action star. He wants to make movies. I think he wants to do all this stuff. And I know it's on his mind, and it's not distracting. You know, they're getting their dad bods here in the offseason, but they'll be in shape by the time September rolls around and the Chiefs are playing. They'll be ready to go. Patrick Mahomes doing a lengthy interview saying it's time for him to get serious and not have a dad bod, that he's always gotten away with that, that maybe he's getting older now and knows that he needs to not have a dad bod, even in season or out of season. I think there will be a time when he becomes very serious about his training and is in great shape. He has not done that yet. When you've won three Super Bowls at age 27, 28, it's pretty easy to just go about doing the way you're doing. And it's worked out for Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see. The draft is coming up on Thursday night. Stan Ware will be with us. We got a lot to talk about with football this weekend, and we will approach that and have a great time with that. KKHI is brought to you by Aspen Wealth Management. Is Aspen the place for you? Online at aspenwealth.com. I spoke with Tavis Holsinger a couple of days ago. He said many of you have contacted them with various questions, and this is really unique. Tavis and Trevor are more than happy to take your phone call and answer your questions and guide you down a path. He said a couple of people have called that don't have any real assets or anything like that. They're just trying to get advice on how to get started and what to do, and the advice is free with Aspen Wealth. They're more for KKHI listeners, they're more than happy to take your call and give you advice on your situation and maybe what you should be doing to get some financial stability down the road. They'd love to advise you or work with you. If you've got a 401k you want to roll over, or you're looking for a financial plan, or you have an IRA and you're not sure about the tax implications of any of this, call Aspen Wealth at 913-491-0500. They're online at aspenwealth.com. Aspen is the place for you. McConnell and Associates. My buddy Bart over at McConnell and Associates says, many folks have reached out to him and called about concrete work, grading, drainage, asphalt, paving, and repairs. Listen, if you're on your HOA board or you have tennis courts or pickleball courts or swimming pool in your neighborhood and the parking lot needs to be resurfaced or it's going to be in the budget sometime in the future, these are the folks to call. I'm going to be talking with Stan Weber a little bit about this because I know they do business with Tower Properties as well, where Stan is the CEO. McConnell & Associates, if you've walked, if you go to the park and walk, if you park your car somewhere, you've no question walked on their services or driven on their services. McConnell & Associates do work all over town. Their motto is wherever you walk, park, or play, they provide the pavement, construction services, and maintenance. McConnell & Associates. Bart Danler, 816-215-1973, or you can find them at thekklist.com. McConnell & Associates, pretty good stuff. Nice folks. They do a lot of great work. Well, we had a little bit of a social media brawl between the athletic director at the University of Kansas and Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. Travis Goff is the AD at KU, and he gave a public speech last week where he said, well, depending on how you want to interpret this, and it really depends on whether you're looking at it as a KU fan or not a KU fan, because people will look at this project differently. Missouri just said they're going to do another $250 million in the north end zone. It looks fantastic. Missouri's just going nuts with their facilities. They're doing great. It's fully funded. They announce something, they go build it, and they do it. Kansas, for years and years and years, has had trouble getting anything done with their football stadium, which is 20 years behind the times. Like, they're just playing catch-up at this point. It's really, really antiquated. So they needed this project. They said it's going to be close to $500 million. And they went to the state of Kansas, where they got an initial $50 million, but had more earmarked for a gateway project, which is a conference center. They were hoping to build a hotel. It was development around the stadium. It's a problematic area to develop because it's surrounded by campus and older homes. It's in a neighborhood. It's quaint. It's cool. The hill's awesome. It's a great setting, but it is not a very good place for a development. It just isn't. It's landlocked. If they wanted to do this, I thought all along, if Kansas was going to take $500 million, what they should have done was go out by I-70, get some land, build something really cool that you can see from the interstate, that people from Kansas City could easily get to for concerts and other events, build your hotel and convention center there, and maybe have development around it, and have a mixed-use facility in a logical place for all kinds of people to use other than just on game day. So the fact that this gateway project is falling apart is not surprising. We live in Joe Biden's America. A lot of these projects are falling apart. These companies borrow money to build these things. The interest rates are outrageous right now. And Travis Goff at least was honest. He was finally honest last week. He was giving a speech. He said there just is no interest in this. The developers do not want to come in and develop around this thing right now because the economy and because of interest rates and all that. So essentially what's going to happen with this stadium now is they're going to build their new football offices and a building in the end zone. They're going to completely redo beautifully the west side, but they've announced they're reducing the seating capacity of Memorial Stadium in doing so. They're taking out 5,000 or 6,000 seats. Most stadiums are getting smaller. I'm not going to badmouth them on that, but it was not part of the plan. It now is. They're not touching the east side at this point because they don't have the money for it, and they're not doing the gateway project, and a lot of this thing is just flat on hold. Kansas, as you know, is not playing football there this year. They're going to play at Arrowhead and Sporting Park and piece it together like that. So hopefully they can get this phase done by 2025 to play football at Memorial Stadium. But it was fairly easy to predict. They didn't have the money raised, that they were going to continue to try to raise money. But they got this free money from the state of Kansas. This is taxpayer money. It's $50 million initially and could be more. And it is for development. Economic development. It's earmarked. They gave it to Kansas Athletics. And so as that has fallen apart, Kansas is not returning that $50 million. So the question now is that $50 million going toward the football stadium, which it is not supposed to go to? The money is not for an athletic department to put a football stadium in. If it's for the athletic department, just build whatever they want. The governor of Kansas needs to give K-State, Wichita State, Emporia State, Pittsburgh State, Fort Hays State, all the state schools, $50 million to their athletic department. Just write the checks. They've got a $1 billion surplus in Topeka. If that's what they're doing is handing Kansas $50 million toward their project to build a football stadium, then every school should get it. And that should be something the Board of Regents should have to approve. And it doesn't appear that that was. This is economic development. The economic development part of this is on hold. It's not dead. It's just not happening. And it's not happening anytime soon. So Tim Fitzgerald writes this piece and does this video clip, and I thought he was pretty fair and honest and low-key. And Travis Goff did not respond well to it. He gets on Twitter and challenges, you know, basically Tim Fitzgerald to be a man and come interview him in person, which Tim Fitzgerald's going to go do. He's going to go to Lawrence, and he's going to interview him. And then because, of course, it was social media with the AD at Kansas and Tim Fitzgerald on social media, this going back and forth, it gets really ugly. Tim Fitzgerald has been battling cancer for years. And he's done so publicly. And the haters immediately start jumping on him, making cancer comments and all these just vile, ridiculous, awful things. Over what? Not over dribbling a basketball or how a game went or pom-pom waving. No. Fitzgerald's point is a point that I agree with. Nobody ever authorized the state of Kansas to give KU football $50 million for their stadium. Nobody authorized that. He's right. And now that there is no $50 million to spend on the Gateway project, that's dead, it's on hold, what about the $50 million? You're going to give it back? No, as Fitzgerald concludes, you're going to put it into the stadium because your funding was short anyway. Look, Kansas basketball program is remarkable. It is a great school. My wife is a proud alum. It's a beautiful place. All these things can be true. Kansas athletic department has been mismanaged for decades. They are always broke. They run at a deficit. They're always looking for money. And they always want to do things grander than the money they have. There's a real world comparison here. Okay? They're the Democrats. That's the way they run their athletic department. Like the liberals in D.C. It's the same thing. And I think Fitzgerald's point is that Kansas, the state of Kansas and taxpayers shouldn't be bailing out an athletic department that doesn't run very well and hasn't run very well. I'm not blaming Goff. Look, he had a lot to clean up. I mean, this is a football program that has spent, what, $40, $50 million on ex-coaches to not work there? I mean, it's tens of millions of dollars. I don't know what it's added up to over the last three or four coaches before Lance Leipold got there. And now they're playing with the big boys. They're paying big salaries to Leipold. They're paying NIL. They're trying to do all these things and redo the stadium, and it's not easy. It comes at a time where people are jittery about the economy. Even wealthy people are a little nervous about, hey, I'm not sure I can give right now. I don't know what's going on here. Nothing looks right. Everywhere you look in America, nothing looks right. And it affects everyone. And Fitz's point is, this shouldn't be public money going into the football stadium. He's absolutely right. I'll side with Tim Fitzgerald on that every single time. Public dollars shouldn't be funding athletic department facilities unless there's a vote. If you want to have a vote in Kansas that says we're going to have a tax or something and each state school is going to get $50 million for athletic facilities, let's have the vote. That's not what this was. This was a grant. This was free money just handed to Kansas for a gateway project that's on hold. And it will be really interesting to see what happens when Tim Fitzgerald interviews Travis Goff. We'll look forward to seeing that. Look, South Florida is, Fitz pointed this out, South Florida is building a stadium that opens in 2027, 35,000 seats for $350 million. So it stands to reason Kansas could have built a brand new football stadium for the $450 to $500 million that they were planning on spending here anyway, that they could have just started over from scratch, brand new stadium. Now, that's a hard thing to do. Tradition matters. There's 100 years of people going to football games in that location, so I understand that. But I'm not sure that was the right thing to do. I'm not sure remodeling that stadium in that location was the right thing to do for Kansas. If they were going to have $500 million, I think building a new stadium, and then there's lots of schools doing this. You know, Baylor's done this in a big way with both football and basketball. Building a new football stadium was probably the way to go if you were looking at that kind of money. Although, as it turns out, they don't have that kind of money. And right now, the entire external portion of this thing is on hold. They thought a hotelier was going to come in and build a hotel. There is no interest in building a hotel there. I mean, I think you'd be better off real estate development. Maybe somebody would buy condos there. People live out of state or Western Kansas, whatever, they come in for a game, could stay on campus, maybe own a condo. I would think we've seen that at Texas Tech and other places where they're building condominiums right around the sports facilities and donors will buy, alumni will buy those to have when they come to games and things. Maybe that's a better play than a hotel. I'm not really sure, but they weren't going to earmark state funds for condos. They were going to earmark it for a hotel and a convention center and a gateway project. And that seems to have dried up. Scotty Scheffler is leading the golf tournament this week by 5 shots as they head into play on Monday. It got rained out. There's only like 5 holes left. Scotty Scheffler's single-handedly killing golf. It's one of the greatest runs of golf we've ever seen, and it's the most boring thing on earth to watch. Could Nike or somebody at least put him in some flamboyant, crazy, colorful clothes? Look, golf's splintering. We got the PGA Tour and we've got LIV. Ratings are down all over the place. Scotty Scheffler has another 5-shot lead this week after winning the Masters. He's running away with this thing in Hilton Head. It's not good. And we all say, Every sport says, oh, you got to have somebody great. You have to have the best. If you have a generational athlete or talent, the very best, it's always good for the sport. Well, not if it's Scottie Scheffler. I wish he was my next door neighbor. I wish he was my best friend. I think he's just a wonderful human being and a great golfer. But he just doesn't move the needle at all. He's not what people are looking for. His game is boring. He's too good. He doesn't get in trouble on the course. There's nothing, you know, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, when they would win golf tournaments, they'd be out in the sticks, down in a creek, taking their shoes off, hitting a shot, miraculously saving par. There's none of that with Scottie Scheffler. He just goes out and hits the fairway, hits the green, makes some putts, and moves on. And it's just kind of a strange situation in golf, and I don't know where golf is headed. Sounds like there's a merger coming next year, and they will be competing against each other, all these players on the different tours, so we'll see how that plays out, I guess, over time. Window World is simply the best for less. Online at windowskansascity.com or call 816-799-0820. We've had a lot of rain the last couple of weeks. If you're seeing water or problems with your windows, Window World is the call to make. 816-799-0820 for Window World, simply the best for less. And I mentioned Tickets for Less earlier. If you're looking for tickets to any kind of an event, whether it's a sporting event or you want to go to a concert, ticketsforless.com is the place to go. No fees ever. Your promo code is KKHI. KKHI is your promo code. You will always save between 5 and 15% at ticketsforless.com. Our final sports story here today is sort of sports. It's the Colorado Rockies. On April 10th, the Rockies finished up a game in Denver and were flying to Toronto to play the Blue Jays. They got on their jumbo jet, United Airlines. Don't think of the ones that you normally fly on where you look left into the cockpit and it's a tiny little cockpit and two people barely fit in there. This is a big jumbo jet from United Airlines. I think four people can fit inside the cockpit. It's pretty big. And so this happened. Colorado Rockies hitting coach Hensley Mullins went into the cockpit and they put him in the captain's chair as they were on cruise control at 35,000 feet. The other captain was in the other seat, but apparently one of the ladies videoing Hensley in the seat, it's about a minute and six long, it's been taken off social media now. It's unclear whether she was one of the pilots or a flight attendant. This was relatively harmless. It has happened before. I basically sat shotgun with Johnny Rollins all through the years in the helicopter flying around, so it's not unusual, I don't think. But they shot a video, it wound up going viral, it's all over the place, of a hitting coach for the Colorado Rockies sitting in the captain's seat in the cockpit of a jumbo jet as it's flying at 35,000 feet, and United Airlines and the Colorado Rockies are investigating. There's going to be some people in trouble over this. I'm going to guess you're not supposed to do that. And if there's no hard and fast law against it, there probably should be. There just probably should be. Look, it didn't really bother me as I'm looking at it. And it wouldn't have bothered me if I'd been on the plane and I was looking, I'd be like, okay, the pilot's still flying the plane. I don't really have, but it's not an amusement ride. It's not a meet and greet, but they kind of turned it into that. And it'll be interesting to see what happens here with the FAA, with the pilots involved, with United Airlines, and whether the Rockies discipline their coach or at that point, you discipline the manager for allowing it to happen on the charter. I mean, the manager should still be in charge of everything that's going on the airplane, right? He's the big boss man on the airplane as they're flying to Toronto. It's a pretty interesting video. It's a little bit unnerving. At one point, he acts like he's going to push a button, you know, or acts like he's going to take the wheel, and he doesn't. I suspect there will be a fine. The pilots will probably be suspended for a couple of days. And I don't know what's going to happen to the hitting coach. And the question then is, did he do anything wrong? Because if he didn't know he wasn't doing anything wrong, did he do anything wrong? Never did touch anything. He didn't fly the plane or anything like that. But a pretty strange story coming out of Colorado with the Rockies and their hitting coach. On to the news. We're brought to you today by Fry Orthodontics. Online at fryorthodontics.com. 14 locations. There's one near you. Get your perfect smile for life at Fry Orthodontics, where individual treatment is what it's all about. Your goals are the only thing that matter. Teeth love us. You will too at fryorthodontics.com. And my buddy Daniel and his team at Earth Effects Outdoor, online at eeoutdoor.com, whether you just want to freshen it up with a little mulch and have your hedges trimmed, or if you'd like to plant some trees or do some hardscapes with a fire pit, or outdoor lighting? Earth Effects can do all that for you. EEOutdoor.com, 816-478-7700. I was disgusted on Saturday as I watched the Democrats in the House of Representatives wave their Ukrainian flags inside our House of Representatives after passing $61 billion more for Ukraine. That will undoubtedly kill more and more young people, increasingly older people. They're running out of young people in Ukraine to fight. So now they're putting 50-year-olds out there and getting them killed. They're not going to win this war unless we go in and win it for them. You cannot buy your way to victory in this. You can spend this $61 billion and enrich a whole bunch of companies in America that make munitions and arms, and politicians can get rich off of this, and they are. It's one giant money laundering scheme. Republicans went along with it. Many Republicans went along with it and passed this in the House because it has aid to Israel and Taiwan. Unbelievable what we're doing. $61 billion more for Ukraine. And nobody has even thought, like, do we not remember the days where if you're a real leader in the United States, you're a president, you're like, okay, let's sit down. Let's get Zelensky and Putin at a table. I'll be the intermediary. I'm the president of the United States. Let's negotiate this thing out and end this. Why isn't that even attempted? Instead, we just keep spending money we don't have. And there is nothing we can do about it as citizens of this country. The government's gotten out of control and too big, and they'll just spend whatever they want. And so they pass this. And as conservatives, what can we do? We're mad at the Republicans that voted for it. Yep, we are. And we should be. We don't have this money, and we really don't have any interest in Ukraine. I don't. You don't. The politicians do. The contractors do. There's all kinds of people getting rich off this thing, including Zelensky. It's just one giant scam, folks. And the worst part is people are getting killed. And that just seems to be a byproduct of people enriching their own lives. It's really sad. And it was pathetic to see them waving Ukrainian flags in our House of Representatives. It was truly pathetic on Saturday. Mayor Q is getting it from all sides. Holy smokes. This guy comes out and says, basically, I want your illegal aliens. New York, you're overrun. Denver, you're overrun. Chicago, you're overrun. Bring them here. Missouri Attorney General immediately said, not so fast. We have laws in Missouri. If you are importing them, you are committing a crime too. Illegal aliens coming into Missouri is a crime in the state of Missouri. Now, how is it policed? What do they do? Whatever. Well, that's up to the state. But the mayor of Kansas City saying, bring them on. The attorney general says, not so fast. We'll file a suit against you and stop you from doing this. And now Platt and Clay County presiding commissioners have said they're going after Quentin Lucas. Do not do this. Quentin Lucas thinks his little city is like the oasis in the desert. It's got all the Missouri's all red. It's red everywhere, except right here in Kansas City. I'll do whatever I want. Watch me climb my political ladder in the Democrat Party. There's a law. There's literally a law against sanctuary cities in Missouri. It is against the law for Kansas City to be a sanctuary city. And he's essentially saying, I want all the illegal aliens. We're a sanctuary city. He says, I want, quote, migrant workers. Well, that's America in a nutshell. What Quentin Lucas calls a migrant worker, I call an illegal alien. If you need more workers, you can get them by paying higher salaries. Illegal aliens are driving wages down. They're not doing us any good. They aren't. He's got this all backwards, but they usually do on the left. And this is illegal. It is against the law for this to happen. For Quentin Lucas to go out, find these people, give them money, bring them in because other cities are overcrowded is against the law in Missouri. It is against the law. There's no question what he's trying to do and wanting to do is against the law. The question is, will they stop him? Can they stop him? I would think he'd be much more concerned and worried about what's going on in his own city. We had a Plaza Marriott shootout this weekend in the parking garage. An innocent woman is injured as she's just driving in the garage. 45th Street, just off the plaza. She's pulling into the Marriott parking garage and she goes to the hospital shot. She's going to be okay, not life-threatening. There's a viral video that's gone global in Kansas City last Wednesday. Street gunfire in Kansas City, Missouri. As kids were playing in the street, a six-year-old was shot and taken to the hospital. He's going to be okay. But it was the third shooting in 8 days involving like playground areas, areas where kids are playing in Kansas City, Missouri. It was the third shooting in 8 days. Previously, a five-year-old and an 11-year-old were shot and killed. And I don't hear anything from the mayor on this. I don't see vigils. I don't see, you know, he was more than happy to go down there to the Nichols Fountain and get down on a knee for George Floyd. And he's got record crime, murder rate in his own city. And he's just got, you know, this is all crossfire. This is shootouts. These are gang members shooting out, and anybody can get caught in the middle. Even if you're just driving in your car, anybody. We've got a six-year-old, a five-year-old, an 11-year-old in 8 days, all three shot, two of them dead. In crossfire. By the way, the 5 and 6 year olds don't have guns. Neither did the 11-year-old. Excuse me. The 11-year-old didn't either. They just get caught in crossfire. And Quentin Lucas is worried about bringing migrant workers in when he's got this going on. Man, we got to find a way. We got to find a way to stop this gang activity. We got to crack down in Kansas City, Missouri on the gang activity, because that's ultimately what this is. It's young males in rival gangs shooting at each other, just like they did at the Chiefs parade, where there were actually three shootings that day around the parade. We know the one got all the attention, but there were two others. And it doesn't seem like they're going to do anything about it anywhere. It's disturbing at best. I want to give a shout out to a couple of listeners who have events coming up this week. These are fun and important events. Tamala Stockton, her email is tamalastockton@gmail.com. They've got an awesome event coming up on Wednesday night at their speakeasy in Gardner, the Forge in Gardner, Kansas, supporting Sheriff Calvin Hayden and his reelection bid. If you'd like to go to that, it looks like a really neat event at this speakeasy in Gardner. Contact Tamala. It's tamalastockton@gmail.com, T-A-M-E-L-A, or you can email me and say, hey, what's her email address? I'll hook you up with her if you'd like to go support Sheriff Calvin Hayden to raise a little money. And our friends in Emporia at the Flint Hills Technical College are having a benefit gala and auction Friday night. We talked about this a few weeks ago. This is really cool. If you want to look at it online, they've got really, from pies to pugs, they have auction items. They're auctioning off a pug. That's kind of cool. A Chief's Suite, they're auctioning off. Four nights in Playa, a trip. They got all these cool items. You can see them all online if you go to fhtc.edu. fhtc.edu and click on the 60s Groovy Gala Benefit and Auction. That is Friday night. If you'd like to go, you can buy tickets there. If you'd like to make a donation or contribute an auction item, you can do that right there at the website. This is a great trade school. We talk a lot about getting away from these universities like Columbia, where they now have no in-person class because the demonstrations are so crazy, all the pro-Hamas freaks, and what's going on at our universities. That we need more skilled workers. That's what Flint Hills Technical College is. This is an awesome conservative school that's teaching young people real skills to go out in the world and crush it. And they're having a fundraiser for their technical college and their foundation. Again, that's fhtc.edu if you want to check that out. We're big fans of those folks. They're really, really good. Really good at what they do. We got emails. Oh, did we get emails after Friday's podcast about the ad that's been playing at the front? Almost everyone, I got over 200 emails, almost everyone, and I've not responded to all of them, but I've gotten back to most of you in some way, I think, knock wood. Almost all of you said, let it run. If you can make a buck or two, it's fine. Some of you shuttle through, whatever. I'm going to give this another week and see what happens. I got to monitor this a little bit more. I'm working with Podbean and trying to set the settings. I want to make sure it doesn't pop up in the middle. And for some reason, it popped up on a patron podcast, and that's a non-starter. If you're a patron, those are ad-free, completely ad-free. So I've got to stop that, and I'm working on that. That's just the update on it. But here's a sampling of the emails from Lance in Phoenix. Kev, when I heard the ad at first, I thought I clicked on the wrong podcast. I let it play through. I was busy doing something else. When I heard your intro, I thought, well, that's strange, but I didn't think of it again. One short ad at the start of your podcast won't affect much. I'll still listen to you. Thank you, Lance. Appreciate that. That's pretty much the sentiment of most people. From Dallas, Kevin, make your money, man. This is the most consistent podcast I listen to. By the way, thanks for the Tickets for Less discount. My mom and I love the game. Awesome, Dallas. Way to go. Pretty cool. From Brian, my quick thoughts from someone that literally listens to every episode. If you can make a little extra money, make it. It's just a few seconds at the beginning, and I don't mind. I'll admit it caught me off guard at first, but it's not that big a deal. Not sure how much you're going to make, but here's an idea. If it's a decent amount, how about 50% or 25% to donate to conservative candidates to help them get elected? I like that idea. I may start with Sheriff Calvin. From Grant, Kevin, the pop-up ad doesn't bother me. However, you not drinking coffee does. I mentioned last week on the podcast that Bill Belichick doesn't drink coffee. He drinks tea, which is me too. And that didn't go over well with Grant. You know, maybe I can understand that. There's a flaw to a person that doesn't drink coffee. I think I get that. From Dan, Kevin, I don't like the ad, but it's not going to stop me. To be completely honest, first couple times I heard it, I thought it was a new podcast for you. It says listen to Kevin on this podcast. I think that's inappropriate for them to use your name. Well, they don't know. It's a computer. The whole world's this way. P.S. Cole Reagans did get a World Series win ring from the Rangers. He was on their opening day roster, was on their roster last year. That is correct. Reagans did get the World Series ring, but he was here when the Rangers won the World Series. Kevin, if I can sit through Seren and Curtis for Chiefs news every afternoon, I can definitely sit through an ad if it keeps money for you. Keep up the great work. I'm not touching that one. And then finally, this one from Tim in Virginia. Kevin, I'm for the ad if it produces revenue to help you pay for a producer to help keep your segments more concise. Case in point is your Podbean discussion. You could have made that point in 2 minutes. You're right. I emailed him back, said, Tim, you're right. I got out of my skis. That was too long that I talked about that, but it's something that's important to me and passionate about, and sometimes I lose sight of that. I'm human, and that was way too much about me and about the podcast, and I apologize for being too lengthy in that discussion. He is absolutely right. Our final today is brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC in Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty. Right now, $170 rebate on set of four tires. Call Roberts Robinson at 816-826-1563 or check them out online at robertsrobinson.com. Ideal Health KC is Kansas City's regenerative medicine center. Dr. Kip Van Camp is going to be on the podcast here coming up in a couple of weeks. If you have a question for Dr. Van Camp, send it to me. Shoot me an email with any question you have for Dr. Van Camp, and we'll get him on the podcast and ask him your email. Ideal Health KC is located at K7 in Shawnee Mission Parkway in Shawnee. Dr. Van Camp is a double board certified interventional radiologist. He's been published in multiple journals around the world. Joint pain, COVID shots, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's work, you name it. Tissue therapy could be for you. Regenerative medicine, 913-745-5300. And Back 9 Development, Kansas City's custom home builder. Online at back9development.com. Now offering the Dunes in Lansing, 8 lots available, and the Lofts at 1700 in Manhattan, or any custom build project you have, check out the portfolio at back9development.com. Our final is from a media outlet that I've never heard of. It's called Paste Magazine. Paste, like toothpaste. Paste Magazine. And they review music. It's an art platform kind of thing. And they did a review of Taylor Swift's new album, which is entitled Tortured Poets Department. And they panned it big time. The headline is Taylor Swift Strikes Out Looking. Well, the hardest thing to do if you're a media outlet and you make your living around music with fans reading your site and things of this nature is to dis Taylor Swift. You disrespect Taylor Swift or say something bad about her, they're coming after you. It can't be good for business in any way. Although I've kind of done it here. That's the politics thing, though. I don't mind her music, whatever. I don't listen to it, but if it comes on, I'm not annoyed by it. Their point is this is not up to Taylor Swift's standard. That this album is, that she's going downhill. She's going backwards. Maybe she's making too much music too fast. Is one of the things they're saying. It's a massive album, lots of tracks. There's a couple songs on there about Travis. It's pretty easy to see. But they're like, this just isn't very good. She's had a great career, and this isn't very good. What's interesting about that is not that they wrote it, although I find that interesting. The writer, they didn't post the writer's name in fear of death threats and harassment and physical harm. It just says staff on the column. They definitely had a reviewer review it, but they would not put the writer's name on the column. Think about that as you think about the Swifties. Just think about that for a second. Think about the power of these people in the sheer numbers. And then the thing that Taylor Swift loves to sing about is don't bully. Don't be a bully. Don't, you know, be nice. Things like that. Her fans are the biggest bullies there are. It's their way or the highway. The Swifties are notoriously bully. And this magazine that wrote the column, Taylor Swift Strikes Out Looking, with the Tortured Poets Department album, cannot even put the writer's name up for fear of retribution by those fans. What a sad, sad, sad planet we live on, folks. Truly sad. Hope it didn't make you sad. Listen to the podcast. I'm thrilled that you hit the play button every day. So many people at the ball game yesterday are like, love the podcast, love the pile. It's so nice. It's so great to see everybody when we're out and about. And we're so glad that you're listening and sharing with your friends about the podcast, hitting the play button, and going to thekklist.com. Check out our wonderful sponsors that keep us going here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.